Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
We had a conversation on the World Service a couple of weeks ago, not for the first time, about the risk involved in pinning Ireland's World Cup hopes on the form and fitness of an out half who'll be 38 years old by the time the tournament kicks off. But when that player is Johnny Sexton and he's still capable of performances like we saw on Saturday on the occasion of his 100th cap, maybe it's a risk we should be happy to take. Welcome to Monday's Mini Second Captains Podcast. Hi Murph, hi Si.
Hey, how's
Murph.
It going?
Hey Simon.
What a day for Johnny Sexton. A brilliant playmaking performance, scores a try, receives the adulation of the crowd and walks away with the samurai sword in his back pocket. Can't say fairer than that.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
The greatest post-match gift or man of the match award I've ever seen.
Oh, I have to say it came out of the clear blue skies. I did not expect to be sitting here on a Monday morning discussing a samurai sword. But wow, they just went for it. Japan went for it.
Yes, Japanese
and,
captain
delivered
that to him.
Kudos.
I thought the try, there was a few amazing moments. We'll play his interview in a minute, but the try was an amazing moment. Just the way the players enveloped him in his group hug, his massive smile, the fans cheering and cheering. It seemed to just last for ages. It picked up, you know, normally a try is scored, there's a big burst and then everything calms down, whereas this kind of ratcheted up and up and up before eventually petering out.
I thought I saw a new expression, or an expression I'd never seen on Sexton's face before, in that, like, almost embarrassed or shy or overwhelmed a bit. You know, he's so in control on the pitch, he's got such a game face, he's always kind of barking orders and narky and ultra focused, and then he let the mask slip, I think, for the first time in his career, about a little bit about what's bubbling underneath.
Yeah, that was apparent in the post-match interview as well. We can play a bit of this now. He was struggling to answer the questions, both because he was emotional and trying to rein it in a little, and because the crowd was just making so much noise.
Special afternoon for you.
Yeah, it was an incredible day for myself, for my family here. There, I think every single one of them is here. Most of them came up from Kerry as well, and just the reception I got, that try in the corner was one of the best moments of my career by far.
It was nice to hear that. I don't know, Simon, if that, like, you could correct me if I'm wrong, right? But it feels to me like Sexton hasn't always had that pure undiluted love from the crowd. You know, he's not, despite his achievements, Jamie Heaslip actually said Sexton he believes is our best player in the professional era, and yet I've never got the sense he's been quite as revered as Brian O'Driscoll was in his day.
Is it the narkiness? And every sentence that's ever written about how good he is, and even Conway said it afterwards in one of the post-match, you know, he's brilliant, he's the guy who drives standards, he drives standards like nobody I've ever met, he's pretty narky in training, he keeps things kind of tense during the week, but we all need that. So it's always, he's good and he's also narky and keeps us on our toes. It's like the two are always intertwined, you know, and he does look surly on the pitch. And there's a couple of times, you know, he's been subbed and he looked angry at being subbed, and he was the captain, and people were wondering, was that setting the right tone? And I just wonder, is a large part of it demeanor? Because if you look at his career, he is definitely, he's not quite at the level O'Driscoll is for just pure,
so
pure
you,
talent.
But would you agree with Heaslip that he's been our best player, even more so than O'Driscoll?
Well, I'm just thinking, right, he was the first choice Lion 10, including forcing his way past Farrell on one of those tours. World Player of the Year, obviously instrumental in the Slam, the amazing drop goal against France, brilliant in three Heineken Cup finals, like almost man of the match in three Heineken finals, including dragging Leinster back into the one against Northampton almost single-handedly. His defence, he doesn't really have a flaw in his game. Not that O'Driscoll did either. But that's we are essentially now comparing him to O'Driscoll. I don't necessarily know if I'd pick him over O'Driscoll yet. For pure talent, O'Driscoll still is just ahead. But in terms of longevity now, if he plays at 38 years of age at a World Cup and say we get to a semi-final, you know, say we play well, then you are definitely, I think, talking about him as the best Irish player of the professional era. Because, like, any player to do it at 38, but a backline player to do it, a guy who puts his body on the line, it's not like he just is the finesse player. He's an absolute warrior. So for him to even get 100 caps with that sort of mentality to put his body on the line over and over is phenomenal.
Yeah, I do feel like I don't know about what he's like behind the scenes in training and that sort of stuff, but certainly he doesn't have the O'Driscoll smoothness as a media operator, you know, and he's had some combative stuff with the press at times, and you could argue maybe justified in doing so, you know, when a lot of it's been around his head injuries and stuff like that. There's also, I do sort of feel that maybe the early O'Gara-Sexton dynamic that was there probably... he would have pissed off a lot of Munster fans in those.
Made one
days.
Quarter yeah, of the yeah. country not like him for a good while. Yeah. Not trust him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially because Shane was saying last week, Sexton was like, "Fuck you, get out of here, Rog. You're no good anymore. I don't rate you." You know, it wasn't just a guy who takes over from Rog. It was a guy who didn't rate Rog and wanted him out of the picture. And at the same time, Leinster overtook Munster as the force in Ireland.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think you can underestimate that either, which is, you know, which is absolutely fine. Like, that's how it should be. That's how it has to be when it comes to Leinster and Munster. So, I mean, it is kind of an interesting debate. I mean, there's O'Driscoll's sort of media savvy, media smoothness as a player. I think
very
also
smiley character on the field.
Yeah, I think also as well that you can kind of forget where Irish rugby was before O'Driscoll came. Like, he was a genuinely transformative figure in a way that Sexton couldn't be because of the work that O'Driscoll and Shane Horgan and Paul O'Connell and these guys had done in the noughties to actually bring Irish rugby to a level where it was actually something that people cared about deeply in the professional era. So I think kind of for that reason, you know, Sexton couldn't replace O'Driscoll in kind of the hearts and minds of the Irish people, just because, you know, the landscape.
Yeah,
was just
the very notion
different.
That we might have the best rugby player in the world as O'Driscoll came along just was baffling and so shocking and a new experience. So then, when Sexton won World Player of the Year and we beat New Zealand, we were sort of got used to the idea of being good at rugby and maybe having one of the top players in the world.
And he is, you know, I've very few dealings with Johnny Sexton, but seems like a nice enough guy one-to-one. And, you know, it's just nice to see.
He's lovely off air. Like, there was a series of interviews we got to do with him through Aer Lingus, actually. There was 4 or 5 years in a row where he was their ambassador and we went out. And it's one of those where you get a bit more time with the person before and after and during the interview. And he's really self-deprecating and nice and super smart. Like, we saw that on the TV show as well when we had him on. Really smart guy, not just in a rugby way, but just to chat to.
It was nice just to see that he got that occasion. He said himself later at one point in that interview that he felt a bit guilty because some other players had gone through various landmarks in the last couple of years with
it's
no crowds.
It's an unbelievably
there.
Classy thing to say, I have to say. That knocked me back, I have to say. Yeah, that level of self-awareness, because it is obviously a very odd thing. Like, there is an international rugby game going on at the same time. And, you know, the O'Driscoll 30, we're talking about O'Driscoll again, but the O'Driscoll, you know, 30-meter high banner wandering around like for his last game. You know, like, it is a bizarre thing, you know, to have like a personal milestone in the middle of what is actually a very big game. So, I mean, it is odd, and I'm sure it is maybe even a little uncomfortable for people in that position, but you still don't expect them to throw it back to guys who have retired that didn't get a chance to do that in that moment. You know, even in the press conference afterwards, maybe when you've had to think about what's gone on, you can take it. But to have it 2 minutes after the end of the game on a live television interview that's being broadcast over across the PA as well. Just a really, really classy thing for Sexton to say.
Probably helped that Japan barely laid a glove on him or any of the... Barely knocked any of the Ireland players out of their stride in the preceding 80 minutes. He had plenty of time to think about what he was going to say in his post-match interview. What did you make of it, either Sexton's performance or just generally the bit of style, the type of rugby that... I call it Shane Horgan rugby. So this is what he's been calling for a long time. We're going to talk to Shane on the World Service tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Just a phenomenal, phenomenally good performance. Really enjoyable to watch. The interplay between backs and forwards was maybe the best we've ever seen from Ireland. And that you have to take into account the fact that Japan didn't play anything close to their potential. Some of their defense was horrible. The last Conway try wouldn't happen without bad defense. The Ringrose try wouldn't happen without bad defense. They missed three penalty kicks to touch, which is horrendous. So they were way off their standard. But even taking that into account, some of the stuff that Furlong was doing, obviously... I thought the Gibson Park performance was the one that most surprised me and most encouraged me for the future. We questioned his selection beforehand, but he has that step and we know he's a good pass, but his speed of thought and his composure in tight situations is what I love. You know, he's almost better when there's a lot of things happening around him and he's a load of options and he has to think fast rather than, you know, Murray is... prefers to know exactly what's happening, but it's almost Gibson Park prefers to work off reflexes and instinct. Farrell was speaking before the game, right? So he spent almost his entire career as a sub in Auckland, Wellington, Leinster and Ireland. But Farrell said beforehand that Park is actually feeling more comfortable and more confident with the idea of being the starting scrum half. And that also means the scrum half that takes charge of things. It's a subtle but really important difference in both mindset and I think style of play as well. And then Jack Conan's in the same boat too, I think, where he's belatedly realized how good he is. And by realizing how good he is, he's playing as good as he is, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. He was vital to Ireland. And that as an 8-9 combo is very unusual by Irish standards in that both are creative, both are electric, both are fast, and both want to play with ball in hand. We've had Conor Murray and Peter Stringer absolutely dominate the scrum half position up to this point. But it could be a very, very different game if this new, confident Gibson Park keeps playing that way.
Sorry, but just on Jack Conan, I have to say, just massive kudos to RTE Sport for once again giving a Man of the Match award to a back row, even though we had a winger who scored three tries, including one of the best tries. Like, I literally can't get over how often Irish back rowers win Man of the Match awards. It's like the Man of the Match award is solely... distributed between the numbers 6, 7 and 8 no matter what goes on in the game. Like, we scored
that's because Alan Quinlan's usually on co-coms though.
We scored 10 drives including some absolute worldies Hollywood stuff and still a back row gets out of the match. I gotta applaud it. Like, we adore the back row above all other things.
But it feels to me like we've got players who do want to play this way. You know, we sometimes talk about Sexton and Murray as a pair, and I don't know if holding Ireland back is the right way of phrasing it, but the point's been made on our show and elsewhere that they're very dominant personalities, and whatever way they're going to play it, nobody else is going to talk them. They're the ones who lead that back line, which is fair enough. They're the scrum half and the out half. And I don't want to write off Conor Murray's international career here either, but it is interesting.
He was good when he came on.
Yeah, he was good when he came on. And obviously you need different options. But also just the point I was going to make was on Sexton. Like, he seems to enjoy... Okay, he can play conservatively if needs be, but he can play it anyway. And I think he seems to much prefer actually playing. He seems happier and more expressive playing the way he was yesterday. And you've got players, you mentioned Conan. Like, Tyke Furlong is just a genius of a rugby player. He was on his 50th cap. We talk about the always wanting a fullback to be a second playmaker and a second receiver. Tyke Furlong is that. He's absolutely gifted. And, you know, he got involved a good few times. I know we're like, let's not get too carried away. It was Japan. But I don't see why you can't try and implement some of those things against New Zealand while accepting that it's going to be about 100 times harder.
Yeah, well, we need to score tries. I think New Zealand will score tries against us, but I think we can cause them real problems. And Furlong's the greatest ball playing tight head I've ever seen, and probably of all time. Like, it's not just that he has the skills to do it. He really understands why he's doing it, why he's shifting that pass at that speed, at that angle, to that person. And he sort of has that bigger picture, and you wonder if he'd been given a different body, could he be an out half? Because he has that sort of brain, you know? But we have himself, Conan, Tyke Byrne in particular. They're such smart players in possession. And then players like Van der Fleer, who I thought was a real a brilliant example of somebody doing the basics very, very, very well, has now actually developed over the last couple of years. Seems like a guy who really listens to coaches. And he's not as naturally gifted as, say, like a Tadhg Burner or a Conan in the open spaces, but he's coached himself and being coached to a point where he's not far off, and an unbelievable addition. And then it means you don't need all eight players in the forwards to be like that, because James Ryan, I thought, was brilliant, but just as an absolute workhorse, you know, and at the basics and getting them all and scrum and all the rest right. So with such a sprinkling of players, it's not just that they can do that. That's the thing they're best at. You know, so we could attempt to be the one outrunner guys or the other styles of play we've tried over the years. But actually, it'd be kind of dumb to not use the skills of Furlan.
Yeah, it's not just being idealistic and this would be the best way to win. And, you know, this has been the constant debate with the football team. Do we have the players? We do have the rugby players to play it this way. So why not use them? And one of those players is James Lowe, who had a good performance. Interesting comments from Andy Farrell on James Lowe after the match.
James had a little bit of a wake-up call and went away and understood how he needed to prepare for international rugby. His preparation is through the roof in comparison to how it was before. He's learned the hard way. There's a few things that he needs to get better from today as well, but his attitude's in the right place, and I'm sure that will happen. But he finds a way into the game, you know. He's not a tidy player, and neither do we want our wingers to be tidy players. He finds a way into the game. He's in great nick. He's lost a bit of weight. He's fit. I'm pleased for him today.
did you hear James Lowe's response? James Lowe said to the print journalist, "Who said that?" Andy said it. I'll have to have a word with him. And then he starts saying, "Yeah, well, I've lost a few kilos. I'm feeling fitter." Bollocks on him, Jesus! You know, still talk about his head coach, which is just classic James Lowe stuff. But
yeah, yeah, and you know what, we know what his strengths are, and I wasn't particularly surprised Lowe played that way, and this isn't to be a downer on his performance, because I think, again, he is a bit like, it'd be silly not to use Furlong's hands, it'd be silly not to use Lowe as a creative force and getting those, he almost always gets his hands free, and the difference it makes for a guy to get his hands free as opposed to go to a ruck and the whole thing gets slowed down again, and it doesn't have to be every player, but if Lowe can do that, you know, 50% of the time he gets the ball, then we're automatically freeing things up and have another creative force in the back line. But I would love to see how he defends against New Zealand, because he's still making errors with Leinster this season. That's why I was surprised he got picked. And right. Japan didn't threaten him where he's weakest. So I think the jury's still out on James Lowe as an international player. We know what he can do in attack. Can he do it in defence?
We'll save plenty of stuff here for tomorrow, Si, for Shane. But just a quick word on, in case Murph gives out to you for not giving Andrew Conway his due for his hat-trick. Pretty exceptional stuff.
Brilliant. And you know what? He spoke to us before about visualisation, and I noticed there was a couple of moments where he says it's what's changed him as a player. You know, he went from a guy struggling to get starts with Leinster, then moved to Munster, still struggling to get starts with Munster, and then applied this idea of visualization, so being in the moment, so in a moment where you have milliseconds to react and you don't want your brain to get ahead of itself. Do you remember the pass? I love the three tries, but do you remember the pass he did to Conan for the Bundiaki try? He got it with a Japan shoulder basically in his rib cage as he received the ball, and he both caught and passed the ball within those milliseconds off to Conan. And the try doesn't happen without that sort of skill and quick thinking, but also composure in the moment. And he showed it too for the try, where it was the Japanese error, was the Conor Murray kick through, and the Japan fullback or winger sort of popped it up, but he had to stoop down. It was one of those low bounces, but it's a try you see a load of people screw up because they're overthinking or trying too hard, but he just sort of took his time and scored the try easy then. But he just looks like a guy who's comfortable in his skin. I haven't seen him play that well for Munster. That's a really good sign for Cat and Farrell, that they get that performance, I think, out of Conway, because Munster haven't been firing, they haven't been doing much for their wingers. I said the same for Zeebo. He hasn't had a chance. He won't get picked for Ireland if Munster keep playing that way. But Conway, to pull out that performance, having not played well for Ireland, I think previously, he hasn't played his A game at all for Ireland. So to do that, I'd love to see him play with a bit of confidence, because he's got skill.
Happy enough with that, Murph? It's not all about the back row.
Well, you know, if he'd hit a few more rooks and scored a few less brilliant tries,
man of the match could have been his.
Win the respect of the real rugby people of this country.
We've got a big week coming up with the New Zealand game on Saturday. So Shane Horgan's going to be on the show tomorrow. Also a huge week for the Republic of Ireland team with the Portugal game on Thursday. Great time to be a World Service member. So if you're not already one, then sign up now, or at least consider doing so on secondcaptains.com. It only costs €5 a month plus VAT, depending on whereabouts in the world you're living. That's it. Thanks, Si.
Thanks, Owen.
Thanks, Ciarán.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Owen.
Thanks, Murph.
Thanks, Emil. Talk tomorrow.
What one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. They never go home. They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.